Hey, let's go ahead and get our hearts ready, because I got a word tonight. I think I'm excited about it. You know, I was excited to hear it. I was kind of sharing a little bit about this with our band just a couple days ago, and it was so good that God captured me with it and said, no, we're going to stay here for a little bit. So I want to share it with you guys as well. But as we do, I want to go ahead and pray before we jump into the word, okay? But even before we pray, because I have a specific prayer I want to pray tonight. But I don't know if any of you guys have been watching the news and stuff like that. But one of the teens that goes to this youth ministry was in an accident this past. Actually, it was just yesterday, and I wanted to pray for her real quick. You know, she used to be part of the band and stuff like that, and she's in the hospital right now with her mom. And she got hit by a motorcycle. I don't know if you guys saw the news report, but she got hit by a motorcycle. Motorcycle was going 75 miles an hour, and just head on right there in the middle of the road on her skateboard. So she's in the ICU unit or something like that over at Loma Linda. And you know, Pastor Michelle and myself, we went and saw her today and just praying. And it's bizarre. If you don't believe in God in this place, then I don't know how you do it, because you know, we went to go visit her today, and she, you know, she's unconscious, but she got hit by a motorcycle head on. The guy didn't even slow down, no broken bones. I looked at her, and other than like the hospital stuff on her, no bruises, not even any scratches or scrapes, and she looks exactly like last time I saw her, except for like the hospital stuff. She's just unconscious, and so she hasn't woken up yet. So the amazing part is that God has preserved her and protected her and taken her this far. So my Bible says this: what God starts, He finishes. So if He protected her this far, then I know He's going to bring her through it. So can we pray for her real quick tonight? And for her and her family, and then of course we'll pray for the word, because we're here today for the word. If you can believe God to change the spiritual part of you, the part you don't even see, then you know how much easier is it, God? Can God change the part that we can see, our body? You know, our physical body. So for goodness sakes, the body's the easy part for God to heal. The spiritual part, that's the hard part. So let's believe God to heal Leah. So Father, we lift up Leah right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask that You'd bless her. God, you know, I don't know if she's awake yet, Father God, but Lord, we know if she's not awake now, she will be awake soon. So Father, we lift up her body. God, Your word says that You went to that cross, that You took those stripes on Your back for our healing. God, your word says that Your body was broken so our body could be put back together. So Father God, together as believers, as family, Lord, we lift her up in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask that You would put her back together better than even before, Father, that she would be able to get back up on her feet. God, there'd be no permanent damage inside of her brain, inside of her body, but Father, she would be back to better than normal in no time. God, that You'd protect her family. God, that You would encircle and surround her, Father God, that You'd give her family peace and comfort in this time, Father God. And Lord, that she would live to fulfill the purpose of her life. God, You created her for a reason, and God, that reason hasn't been fully completed yet. So God, we know You're not done with her. So God, lift her up, rise her up, Father God. And Lord, I pray for the day where she'll step into this room and give testimony of the good things You've done in her life. Father, I've seen You heal people before, so I know You can do it today, because God, You are the same God that's been in existence for millions of years, Father God. So we thank You that You were a healer, You are a healer, and You're going to heal her. So Father, we thank You for these things. And God, tonight, as we get into Your word, God, we're believing, Father, not just for a physical healing for her, but God, we're believing, Father, for spiritual healing tonight for us. God, we came here broken. So God, change us and put us back together. God, change our mind, change the way we view people, change the way we view ourselves. And God, tonight, I pray as we look into this word, that this word, that this Bible, that this book would look back into us and change us and rearrange us, so that we could leave this place into the real world and bring hope and healing to people around us. God, that we can speak words of life and not death. And God, that people would even like to be around us because the change we can bring into their life. So Father, thank You for loving us enough to die for us, to raise us from the dead, to accept us, and then heal us into whole people that have no other need than the need of Jesus Christ. So Father, we thank You for these things. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. And everybody in the house said, amen. Amen. Cool. Well, let's do this. Let's get into the Word. See, today I want to go ahead and get into the Word. And I guess if you're taking notes, because I know you take notes, then you go ahead, get out your notebook, get out your pen, get out your phone, whatever you're going to do. But if you have your phone, make sure you're typing notes. So looking at your Bible. Unless your Facebook page has the verses on it, that's cool too. But make sure it's good, the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's get to this. If you guys have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke, the 11th chapter. Today, if you were to put a title on this, I would say Inside Out would be what we're going to call this. Inside Out. Not Inside Out, but what's inside comes out. See, I want to talk to you guys today about the inside of your life, because the inside of your life always comes to the outside of your life. See, whatever's on the inside of you is bound to come out. I mean, it works naturally with food. Whatever you put on the inside of you, that food comes outside of you. If you study for a test and you put math equations in your head, chances are most likely if you did it well and you studied well, those math equations will come outside of your head and it'll happen. You see, so it's important what we put on the inside of us, because what we put on the inside of us comes out of us. Now, I don't know about you, but I've said some pretty stupid things before. Have you ever just kind of been talking to your mom or to your friend or to your boyfriend, and all of a sudden something just comes out real stupid? You know, maybe you call your girlfriend by the wrong name, and you know that's pretty dumb. Maybe you're getting reprimanded, you're getting told off by one of your parents at home, because you did something dumb, and they're just ripping into you, and they're saying, "Why did you?" And then you start mouthing off, smarting off, "I hate you, mom!" Slamming doors, punching holes in walls, kicking the dog. You know, we've all been there. Where you can literally see, we're just talking about this with one of my sisters the other day, where you can like almost literally see the words leaving your mouth, and you're like reaching out, "No, stop, don't say that." And you're like wishing they had handlebars. You just grab them, just shove them back in, you shove them back in your mouth. I mean, I've been there all too often, because I have a problem. I have a problem talking to people sometimes, especially in my less finer times. I've said some pretty rude things to lots of people. Just ask the interns; they'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you the real Pastor Richard. And that's what happens. If you want to change that, if you want to stop the dumb coming out of your mouth, if you want to change your behavior, if you have problems with certain thoughts always coming into your brain, fear, or maybe you get really worried or tense at night, because it happens, maybe you have problems with dreams or nightmares and things like that, and you just can't seem to change the way your brain works at times, then today you need to change the inside of you before the outside of you ever changes. If you have that habit, that issue you can't get over, then you need to change the inside of you before the outside ever changes. You see, church and Christianity and Jesus, he never came to turn us into good people. That's not the thing. God doesn't need more good people. That's the last thing heaven needs, is more good people. Because God's not out to make us good. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating stabbing people in the throat. But what I am talking about is this, is God's not out to change your behavior. He's out to change your heart. Because if you can change your heart, then your behavior just kind of follows suit. See, God's out to change hearts, not behavior. So if you're in this place, you're hoping to come to church so you can clean your act up. Well, look, you're in here for the wrong reason. You need to be in here to get the heart of God. Because if you get the heart of God, then your act will just begin to clean itself up naturally. Because your heart will begin to stop desiring all the mess we get in. You see, whatever's on the inside of you comes out of you. You got Jesus on the inside of you, then Jesus is going to come out of you. If you got mess on the inside of you, then the mess is going to come on the outside of you. You see, your life is a product of the overflow of your heart. It's your life, your actions, your behavior, your attitudes, your thoughts, the dumb and the smart things we do is a product of the overflow of our life. You know, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he was out there and he was sitting down to eat a meal, and he grabbed one of the bowls and it had a cup and stuff like that. And it was kind of, and the outside of it was kind of messy. You know, the outside of it was kind of messy. And the Pharisees started tripping and said, "What is this guy doing?" Because Jesus was a rabbi and they were rabbis. And one of the rules of rabbidom is you don't eat out of dirty bowls. I mean, if the outside of the bowl is dirty, then you got issues. You got problems. They're like, no. Actually, they didn't do that because they didn't really have Jesus on the cross back then. But they would say, no. They would just yell. And they would scream or whatever the case may be. And Jesus grabbed this bowl, and it had some smudges on the outside. And they're thinking, what is this guy doing? Is this guy playing games? So all of a sudden, in Luke, the 11th chapter, if you're there, I'm looking at verse 39. And Jesus begins to kind of tell them of the truth. And Jesus says this. He says, so it says, the Pharisees asked him to dine with, have dinner with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. Verse 38, the Pharisee was astonished, surprised, dumbfounded, befuddled to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said, now you Pharisees, you guys clean the outside of the cup, the outside of the dish. But see, inside of you guys is full of greed and wickedness. See, the Pharisees, they tried to clean the outside without taking care of the inside. They tried to do it backwards. And Jesus was talking to the guys, look, man, it doesn't matter how dirty the outside of the cup is. The food comes in and goes out from the inside. If the inside's nasty, then you got issues. He says, you guys got it backwards. He says, you guys are all about clean dishes when really your heart is just wicked and nasty and greedy. He even says in verse 40, he says, you guys, you're fools. He said, didn't the one who made the outside make the inside also? He said, you guys need to give as alms or give as a gift or generosity those things that are within. And behold, everything is clean for you. Jesus said, if you give from a clean heart, then everything you do will be good and clean. But if you give even good things from a dirty heart, then even the good that you do will be dirty. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, imagine it this way. Imagine if you had a nice, big, tall, 3-liter jug of Dr. Thunder. That's right. Dr. Thunder, we go in Walmart up in here. All right, so there you are. You have a big old 3-liter of Dr. Thunder, and it's been chilling. It's been good. It's even got those like little sweat drops on the outside because you know that mug is fresh. Okay, so you pop, to take the cap off, foams over. Dr. Thunder's foaming all over the place, and you get yourself a cup. But on the inside of the cup is old. It's old oatmeal and Cheeto powder. It's all nasty. If you meet your little brother or sister, and you know what it's like, they drink out of the cup, they leave the floaties all the time, nasty. My daughter does it all the time. That's why when she drinks out of my cup, you can have it. Okay, so, it's all on the inside, and you take that nice fresh cup of Dr. Thunder, and you pour it in there, that clean Dr. Thunder has been tainted. Not because of, nothing wrong with Dr. Thunder, because you know that's fresh. It's quenching to any man's thirst. But because the inside of the cup was dirty, it polluted even the good, fresh yumminess of Dr. Thunder. Now it's Dr. Thunder oatmeal cheese stuff. And it's nasty. Ain't nobody want to drink that unless you're crazy. That's what happens in our life. Is the inside of our life, if we allow it to get polluted and dirty, then even the good things we desire to do become tainted. It happens all the time. Even us, especially us religious folk in here, if you've been in church for a little bit, we sometimes even like to do religious, godly things with the wrong motive behind it. So we could be seen, so people think we're really spiritual or holy. And see, that's a good thing done for the wrong reason. And that is wicked. Could you believe that? Even doing the good or the right thing can be wicked if your heart is not in the right place. And everybody else can think it's okay because it looks like Dr. Thunder. It's got bubbles like Dr. Thunder. It's dark like Dr. Thunder. But deep down in there are those little floaties that you aren't necessarily seeing, but they're in there and they're nasty in our heart. That's what happens. You see, Jesus knew this. And he said, look, you guys, he told the Pharisees, he told these religious leaders, he said, look, you guys are giving money to the poor. You guys are preaching the word of God. You guys are walking around and you play this big game. But in the outside of your cup, the outside of your life, the behavior you guys are doing is right and good and fresh and nice. But on the inside of your head, you've got these nasty thoughts. On the inside of your heart, you have this hate and you're judging people. So on the inside of your heart, you do these things, but you only do them because you want people to think you're fancy and nice and fantastic and beautiful and wonderful. So you could have a big head and people can kiss your hands and think you're beautiful and wonderful and religious holy people. And we do that sometimes. Or maybe you're on the opposite end, to where you know you're a mess. You know you got issues and problems. Stop trying to clean yourself up on the outside, because it's not an outside problem. Your drugs or your issues or your words or your behavior, the way you're, you know, even your grades. Stop trying to clean up the outside first, because it's not going to happen. No matter how much you clean the outside of your life, until you get on the inside of that cup, it's still going to be nasty thunder all up in there. Your behavior, your thoughts and attitudes are still going to be tainted. You see, whatever's on the inside of you comes outside of you, because we give out the overflow of our life. And see, whatever you put in will come out. Now, in Matthew 12, you got to turn the book. Matthew 12, 20, 24 up here. If you guys got it, bam, put it up there. Yeah. It says, what? No, excuse me, 13, 24. I'm sorry. I was like, what's the deal with that? Matthew 13, 24. Cool. Okay. It says, he put another parable before him, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed seeds in a good field. While the men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. You see, all of a sudden, whatever's planted in the ground is what comes up and out. It says there's two kinds of seeds planted, two kinds of seeds being planted in this field. In this field were good seeds, and in this field were bad seeds. You see, whatever's put into the ground is what comes out. If you're putting good seeds into the ground, or if you allow the enemy to put bad seeds into your ground, into your heart, because whenever it's talked about these things, whenever it's talking about dirt and soil and seeds, the dirt is always your heart. So depending on what you allow into your life determines what's going to come out of your life. The kingdom of heaven is a man who sowed good seeds in a field. And that man is always Jesus Christ. The seeds are the things of God. He allowed, one way, if you allow the good things to be planted into your life, then good will spring out of it. If you allow evil to be planted into your life, then evil will come out of your life. It's simple. You know, there's a saying that's pretty old. It says, garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage in, that's what you're going to get. You put junk in your life, you're going to get junk out of your life. You put good things and positive and godly things, then that's what will happen. There's another verse in the Bible that says, out of the abundance of your heart, so the mouth will speak. You see, if you put it in you, it's what will come out of you. Out of the abundance of our heart, so the mouth speaks. So if you're in this place and you find that you're doing things that you know are wrong, then you need to check what's being planted, what is abundant in your heart. Go ahead, turn, if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead, turn to Proverbs 23:7. Go ahead, give me that, if you guys can, give me that New King James Version. In my Bible, it says, in 23:7, it says, this man is like one who is inwardly calculating. It says, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. If you guys have the New King James, give it to me there too. But he says, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. On the outside, he's saying one thing. On the inside, he's a completely different person. You see, in our lives, we have to be careful that what we put in our life comes outside of our life. You know, because in the end, we can only play these games so much. It says this. It continues and it says this. It says, you'll vomit up the morsels that you've eaten and waste your pleasant words. It says, in the end of this, what's inside of us comes up, comes out. You know, the thing we need to ask ourselves is this, is what are we putting inside of us? Is it going to become something that's disgusting? Is it going to become something that becomes like vomit? Is it going to become something that we put inside of us only to ruin the lives of the people around us? You know, it works this way. Thoughts produce actions. Actions, they begin to produce habits. Habits, they produce your character, and your character will determine your destiny. See, in your life, if you're beginning to put things in your life, whether it's the things you watch, maybe it's the attitudes or the stuff you allow inside of your life, you know, whatever you begin to put inside of you, whatever you begin to put on the inside of you will become the way you think. And the more you think about things, the more you mull over them, you know, the pictures inside of your head or the thoughts that you think or the arguments. You ever got an argument with somebody in your head? It's like, you know, when I see them, I'm going to say this to them. And I'm going to say this because I do it all the time. I think, okay, I'm going to have this meeting or, you know, that person really made you mad. Next time I see them, I'm going to give it to them real bad. And if they say this, then I'm going to say that. And then when they say this, I'm going to say that. Or like maybe guys, have you ever thought, okay, if this guy tries to beat me up, this is how I'm going to beat him up. You're getting like this whole kung fu fight scene inside your head. Have you ever done it before? Maybe I don't think it might be just a guy thing. But seriously, you're thinking, okay, if this guy tries to take me, I think that's sometimes in airplanes. I look at the guys, I'm thinking, all right. somehow we can use this drink tray to. Okay, so and I did do this, you know, and depending on what you put on the other, you know, you really have these thoughts, and the thoughts sooner or later, because everything, nothing just happens. It's serious. Nothing just happens. You know, one thing led to another. No. It all starts inside your mind, and when you begin to dwell on these thoughts, eventually those thoughts, if not checked, not changed, not caught, they eventually become actions. Because it all starts on the inside, and then the actions. And when you do something once, have you noticed when you do something once, it's easier to do it a second time, and then a second time, and then another second time, and then another second time, and another second time? It's true. That's why you got to be careful in your relationships, because once you cross a barrier, it's really hard to shut that door if you're trying to maintain your integrity, your purity. It's really hard, because it's a door that God never intended you to open in the first place. It was never intended to be shut. The first time you say, when you were a little kid, the first time you said a bad word, you're like, did they just hear me say that? And then, you know, the second time was like, and then it's like, psh, I got this down. Bleep, 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 bleep. You know, and the more you do it, the easier it is. You begin to practice this. And see, so your thoughts become your actions or your words. And then you do it enough to where it becomes a habit. You do it once, you do it twice. All of a sudden, you know, it's something you find yourself doing all the time. You know what it's like when you get around your friend starts using certain types of slang or words, you start to adopt those words, and it becomes a habit. And then it becomes a habit so long that it becomes a part of who you are, a part of your character. So you are known as the person who is like this or does this or says these words or acts this way or does these certain things. And then because it's your character, it becomes a part of who you are, begins to change the direction of your life, and it becomes a part of your destiny. You know, nobody just ends up homeless for no reason. You know, they've done studies, and they've seen millionaires who lose all their money. They go bankrupt. They become millionaires again. And they could lose all their money, and they become millionaires again. Why? Because it's part of who they are. Not because they were born to be rich, but because it's the way they think. They don't think like someone to be. I've done homeless ministry. And homeless people, I've met a lot of homeless, not all, but I've met a lot of homeless people, they don't want to not be homeless. I don't know if you've ever talked to a lot of homeless people, but there's a lot of homeless people who want to be homeless. They don't want a house. They don't want bills. It's the way they think because of what happened when they were younger. It became a part of who they were, and it's their destiny because of the way they religion were thought. Something put inside of them. And now all they want is they don't want anything more than living in a park. In a bush, behind a building. It's funny, but that's the way it works. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. Because of what he puts inside of him, it determines who he is. See, God has a plan for you. And wouldn't it be horrible that if God sets you up to reach somebody, God sets you up to touch somebody's life, wouldn't it be horrible if somebody asks you a question and you've got nothing but garbage to give them? Wouldn't that be sad? Is if someone was needed your help, someone needed you to pray for them, someone needed you to believe for them, someone needed you to fight for them, and all you had inside of you was garbage. You know, there's an old saying that says, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. And what if that's the way you had to live your life? You know, it'd be like an Eddie Murphy movie or something like that, you know? And you couldn't say not, I mean, it's like liar, liar. You couldn't say anything negative. It'd probably look a lot like this. Come on up, my little drama team here. Let's give it up for Rissa and Pastor Michelle.
Wow, nice little place you got here.
I know. Well, I'm so glad you came for coffee today.
Well, I'll never pass up a caramel macchiato.
Well, I actually invited you here because I have some more exciting news to tell you. You know, me and Daniel have been dating for a while now, and, well, he proposed to me yesterday, and I said yes.
Wow. I'm speechless. I can't say anything at all about that.
Well, you know, he can't afford the ring yet, so we're just going to live off our love with each other, you know?
Sounds like Daniel.
Yep.
No job, probably still. Yeah, no place to live. Yep, Daniel.
So what do you think?
What do I think? Oh, you don't want to know what I think. I mean, opinions these days, they're so fickle, you know. You seem happy, so just be happy.
Well, you know, your opinion means so much to me.
Oh, it does. So I'm going to have to say this, okay? What do I think about you and Daniel? I think that you two together is a big... You two are just... What I think about Daniel is... Think. Oh, okay. I got it. This is what I think. If the both of you were the last two people on this entire planet, and to keep the human race in existence means that you two would have to get together, you're perfect for each other.
Perfect.
Thank you, crew. Oh, man. See, I mean, imagine if God sets you up and someone is looking for your advice. They're looking for something, some type of hope. And if all you've been feeding yourself on is gossip and lies and untruth, if all you've been feeding yourself on is negativity and these things, you got nothing but garbage to give them. It's like the Bible says, you know, the host says, eat and drink and his heart's not with you. So what happens is it comes back up as vomit. It comes back up as garbage. It comes back, you know, and here, Michelle is here and she knows there's something wrong with this relationship, but she has nothing good to say in a godly way to steer her in the right direction. Why? Because all she's been feeding herself with is yuck. You know, what if someone asks you for prayer and you've been messing around? What if someone asks you, hey, you know, I'm having a really hard time. Do you have any ideas? And you want to invite them to church, but you know that you've been feeding yourself garbage and your word means nothing to them. See, what comes in goes out. So we have to clean our insides. You know, Ephesians 5:26, you guys have it in your Bible. Go ahead, turn there, and we're going to get ready to wrap this thing up in just a couple seconds. But in Ephesians 5:26, you know, the Bible's talking about a marriage relationship here, but what it speaks is it speaks something deeper to our souls. It says this in Ephesians 5:26. It says this. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It says that as men and even together as people, we need to love others just as Jesus loved us. And it says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. The Bible talks about this thing, cleansing someone by the washing of the water by the word. You know, if you have garbage inside of you, because we all do, if you look deep enough, you're going to find, if you look deep, there's going to be some corner of your life, some deep pocket of your heart that's got some nastiness in it. And if we look deep enough, the only way to get it is to clean it and to cleanse it, by water. What's the water? It's the word. It's cleansing of the washing of the water by the word. And this is talking about a marriage relationship, but this really applies to any person in life. You see, the way you cleanse your life, the way you change your motives, your attitude, your behavior, the way you change is by the word of God, getting into church, by getting into the word. And I don't know about you, but if you're not getting into your word sometime this week, if you don't dive into the Bible sometime outside of church, if you're getting the word of God one time a week for 20, 30 minutes a week, you're pretty dirty on the inside. Pastor Richard, that's rude. Yeah, I know it's rude, but it's true. We've got to clean ourselves out. I mean, imagine if you only brushed your teeth for one evening a week. You'd have dirty teeth. You would taste yesterday's dinner today. I mean, that's what it'd be. I mean, could you imagine if you only showered Sunday morning? I mean, you would be funky. So our hearts the same way. Every day you pick up garbage in your life. The things people say to you, the arguments you get into, the discouraging things, the world. All you have to do is watch the news, watch CNN for an hour, and you'll feel like, oh my God, what's happening around here? And things being the fall. And so your heart gathers dirt and dust every day. Even more if you're listening and you're watching and consuming things that you know are bad and wrong and ungodly. Your heart gathers dust. So every day, every week, you need the word to wash you clean of these influences and these things. I've said it a million times, I'll say it a million more times. Whatever you feed will grow. Whatever you starve will die. So if you're getting a constant feeding in your heart of the world and garbage, and you're only getting a little tiny pinch of the word, your spirit will die and your flesh will grow. And what will come out of the overflow of your life? The flesh. So when you want to give advice, it'll be fleshly advice. When you want to talk to your parents, you'll talk out of your flesh. When you're in a tough spot, when you're backed up against the wall, and you have the choice between temptation and escaping and fleeing and doing the right godly thing, you're going to make decisions based off of your flesh instead of the spirit. Because out of the overflow of your heart depends on what will happen. So if you have thoughts and memories in your mind, if you're having these things happening inside of your head and you want to get rid of them, then you have to wash them out by the word. And the more word you intake, and the more presence of God you get in your life, and the more you feed your spirit, the more you'll begin to wash these thoughts away, begin to wash these motives, wash these attitudes. You got a bad attitude, you're always getting mad and frustrated, you want to start cussing people out, then you need to start feeding yourself the word of God. Start somewhere. Just start somewhere. Just start reading a verse a day, and you'll begin to clean out your insides by the washing of the word. And then you got to fill up on the spirit. You know, the Bible says in Romans 12:2 that God wants to renew your mind. He wants to change the way we think, and it happens by filling up on the spirit. You know, it says this in 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says that we've been given the mind of Christ. We've been given. You can think like Jesus thinks. So if you get close to God and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, then all of a sudden, the inside of your life will begin to change. And all of a sudden, before you know it, the outside of your life will begin to change, because you'll have an overflow in your life. Last verse here in Acts 3:6, it's a story I love in the Bible. And it's a perfect picture of what happens. Because, I mean, as soon as you get a car, this is going to happen to you all the time. In Acts 3:6, there's a story about the disciples, and they're walking up and they get ready to go to church. It's time for church. They're rolling up into the synagogue, and there they are at the gate of the synagogue, at the gate of the temple. They see a man who is maimed, and this man, you know, he can't walk. So what's he doing? He's begging for money. That's what you do. Back in the day, they didn't have like Social Security and nothing like that. This was the Social Security is that you would ask people for money. It says Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, in the ninth hour, in Acts the third chapter, and a man was lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate at the temple, and it was called the Beautiful Gate, asking alms, asking for money, asking for handouts to those that entered the temple. I mean, you know, you figure people going to church, they must be nice, so that's where I'm get all my money from. So Peter directed his gaze at him, and as did John. They were both looking at him, and they said, "Look at us." So the man fixed his attention on the disciples, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and no gold, but what I do have is what I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Took him by the right hand, and the man jumped up and started walking. You see, the man's asking for money. He's asking for overflow. He's like, "What do you guys got left? What do you guys have extra? What do you have to give me out of your life?" He's asking for their overflow. And Peter and John, what do they say? "Look, I don't got no money." I mean, they probably did. You always go to church with money, right, to give something, even if mom gave you a dollar. Shoot. Anyway, so all of a sudden, they says, "Look, we don't got no money to give you, but I have something better in my life. I got extra Jesus. I got an extra dose of Jesus I could give you for a little bit." He says, "What I do have is what I can give you." And every day when your friend, you talk to your friends at school, and every day when you log on to Facebook, what overflow are you posting? What tweets are you overflowing? FML, "I hate my mom. That is always stabbing me in the back." I mean, what words? "I hate my life. All men are dogs. I can't trust nobody no more." Finding the saddest song you can do and posting those lyrics. Come on, somebody. Is that the only thing overflowing out of your life? Because if it is, you need to change what you're filling yourself up with. You see, when someone had a need, Peter and John gave out of their overflow. What are you giving other people? What is your overflow of your life doing to the people around you? Because somebody needs you. You're here to change somebody's life. And you can either change it with your flesh, which will lead to destruction, or change it with your spirit, which leads to life. Look, it's your life. What do you want to do? It's your life. Where do you want to end up? Do you want to end up where your flesh and your sinful nature takes you? Or do you want to end up where the Spirit of God will take you? Because your life is determined by the overflow of what's on the inside of you. Because whatever you put inside of you becomes what you think about. And what you think about becomes your words and actions. And the words and actions that you say will become your habits. And the habits that you have will make your character. And your character will become your destiny based on the overflow of your life. So whatever you're putting on the inside of you goes on the outside of you. And you'll end up sitting in a pool of it. So what do you want to be swimming in? I don't know. That's a good one. Because you're the one who filled up that pool with your overflow of the spirit, overflow of the flesh. Hey, if you guys got anything to God tonight, let's give him praise.